السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال الله تعالى: ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين، صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, through the fazl, karam and ihsan of Allah Ta'ala, we find ourselves on a Mubarak day of Jumu'ah in the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this is a great ni'mat, a great boon from Allah Ta'ala. Many, many places, people don't have Jumu'ah Salah. Many, many people want to go for Jumu'ah Salah, but it's impossible for them. One of our Akabirin was imprisoned by the British. So every Jumu'ah, he used to take a ghusl and he used to put on a clean set of clothing, put on itar, etc. And then he would walk until the prison gates. But obviously, he was not allowed to leave the prison to go and read Jumu'ah Salah. But he would walk until the prison gates, and then he would say that, Ya Allah, I have done what is within my ability. The rest now is out of my control. And yet we find in today's time, we are free people. We are not imprisoned anywhere. There is nothing that is holding us back. We have masajid in our vicinity, but most of our musallis are late. Most of our musallis, not only here, around the country, maybe 70 to 80% of musallis are late in coming for Jumu'ah. We supposed to be trying to be there for Jumu'ah before azan takes place. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that this great ni'mat Allah has given us, Allah mustn't take it away from us. By us showing naqadri, showing an ingratitude towards the ni'mat, Allah Ta'ala mustn't take it away from us. So we make tawbah, make istighfar, make shukr for the ni'mat, then we won't experience zawal ni'mat. Last night, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala allowed for us to attend the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu. Hazrat was mentioning that a person had come to Hazrat Maulana Shafari Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he asked him that what is the reason that Muslims today are downtrodden. Muslims today, they themselves also, they feel weak. They suffer from a complex. So what is the main contributing factor to that? So we must remember that prior to that in India, we had the Mughal rule, the Mughal emperors, Muslims were ruling India. What wealth they had, what respect they had, izzat they had. And later on, when the Muslims lost power there in India, then they were treated very badly. Their own Muslim women were turned into slave girls. And up to today, we see the atrocities in India. Women, Muslim women are raped. Muslim businesses are burned down. Muslims are chased out of certain villages, etc. All that is still continuing even in today's time in India. So this person is asking Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that what is a contributing factor to this? So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali told him, financial decline, poverty, that the Muslims don't have wealth. When they had wealth, they had respect. And now they don't have wealth. So they don't have respect. So we learn from there that as a mu'min, as a believer, we must look after our wealth. The wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with, we must look after it. The occupation that Allah ta'ala gives us, whether a person is in farming, whether a person is an artisan, whether a person has a business, so that a person must look after it. He must treasure it. He must not neglect it. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali used to say that a person should not entertain friends in his business. That is his time to do business. He must concentrate on his shop and he must do his business properly. Socializing time is a different time, not during your shop hours. So wealth is a ni'mat, it's a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a time people say, mar lat dunya koi. I said, oh, kick the world, we don't need the world, and we don't want. What would a person do without wealth? As I was mentioning, that a person who doesn't have wealth, people use him like a handkerchief. And if he has got wealth, then he has got some standing, he has got some respect. The problem with us is that when we talk about looking after our wealth, then we translate this into, I need to open more businesses. I need to spend more time in my shop. I need to extend my hours. I need to become more competitive. As the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, that one wise person gave this advice. He said that insan is so occupied with how he is going to make money. Insan is so occupied with how he is going to make money. But that is not in his control. No matter whatever he does, he is only going to get that which is in his taqdeer. He can have one shop, he can have 10 shops. Only what is in his taqdeer is going to get that much. He can work from 24 hours, 20 hours, 18 hours. He can miss Takbir-e Ula in the masjid because of his shop. So you say he's very busy, he has to give more attention there. He can neglect his wife, neglect his children because of his shop. He's not going to earn 1 cent more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for him. So preserving one's wealth is not breaking one's head to see how I'm going to earn more. Because that is not in his control. It's not in our control. Allahu yabsutur rizqa limay yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah ta'ala expands rozi for whomsoever he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about straitened circumstances for whomsoever he wills. So that is not in our control. What is in insan's control is how he spends his wealth. But insan doesn't worry about that. Insan is only worried about how I must make more wealth. But he can't make anything more than what Allah Ta'ala has decreed for him. What insan is supposed to be worried about is how am I spending my wealth. And this person asked Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that what is causing Muslims to be downtrodden. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, that it is due to their financial situation, that they have lost their wealth. So he asked Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that what causes a person to lose his wealth? And the answer given is extravagance. Extravagance causes a person to lose his wealth. And this extravagance is a sickness of our time. Extravagance is a sickness of our time. If we have to look back, our forefathers, how they lived their lives, there was a lot of simplicity. Lot of simplicity in their lives. And here, in the towns that are a little bit away from the cities, we see still a lot of this simplicity. The older people are still there, the way their homes were, etc., is simple. But the new generation that comes up, they go out, and now you don't have to go out, now you got everything in your pocket. There was a couple, they were having a lot of marital problems, so they went for counseling. So the person, Alim, who was counseling them, so he asked that who's going to speak first, you know, what is your complaints? So the husband said, no, she was asking for the meeting, so rather she speak first. So she took out one cell phone, and in there she had a whole lot of notes. This complaint, that complaint, that complaint. Whole shopping list of complaints. So the alim now is taking down notes. Then he asked the husband, he said, what is your complaint? What problem do you have? So he said, Alhamdulillah, I got no problems. So I got no problem. I only got one request. So this alim said, what is your request? He said, all I want is my wife must give up Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, all these different social media platforms, she must give it up. So the alim asked him to explain the reason. So he says, see, the only problem that we got in our house is my wife is not content. And the only reason she is not content is because she keeps looking at all these things that she doesn't have. So she cannot make shukr for what she got. So she's only looking at what she doesn't have. And that always becomes an argument. Because she's seeing so many things now. So whatever she got here in the house is not good enough. So then it becomes an argument between the two of us. And this is happening across the board, whether it is with men, whether it is with women. Our children all got these phones in their hands. They are checking this kind tacky, that kind shoe, this kind clothing, this kind bicycle, that kind tacky. All different things. From small it is starting. And that simplicity is gone. So now we are spending so much on things that are totally unnecessary. Just on designs. Just on architecture. It doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever. The design doesn't serve a purpose. A person can have a big home. Can have a big home. The old people, alhamdulillah, some of them had very big homes. And with the big homes, they had big hearts also. But they didn't put any dhyan into design. Today, even if the house is a 2x2 flat, but so much is put into design. What kind chap? What kind tile? What kind ceiling? What kind lighting? And so much of money is spent in all those things. So this israf, spending money where we don't have to spend, this is bringing about a poverty in the ummah. The old people, they didn't have fancy things. They ran that one shop of theirs, they lived in that one house. How the kitchen was, they just used it and carried on. One shelf broke, they put one hammer and nail,
knocked it, sorted it out, and they carried on. But they had money. They had hard money with them. If they needed to buy a car, they went and bought a car cash. They needed to do something, they could help a person. They could take out hard money because they lived simple lives. Today the trend is going smart car, smart house, smart phone, smart everything, but everything is on credit. A person is living in credit. He doesn't have hard money by him. His money is invested in this scheme, in that scheme. Everybody is just checking how I can make more, how much make more. And every scheme is falling down. One person sold up certain things, so much million he made. Now he went and put it in one investment. Now the investment is gone down. Now he thought, now I'm now, you know, what they say when come certain age? Retired now. So I got enough coming in every month, I'm retired now, take it easy. Now the investment is gone down. So we must look after the wealth. Wealth, Allah Ta'ala refers to it as khair, good, in the Quran Sharif. It's something that is good, and it is a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. We must look after it. Don't squander it in unnecessary things. Live a simple life. Eat simple, live simple. Not to say we must be stingy. We mustn't be stingy. Where we need to spend, we must spend. But we must not make israf. Now, the effect of this israf, when we make israf, you see, unfortunately, israf is not considered a guna. A person builds a house, palatial home. When he finished building the house, now he calls everybody, Dawat, his family, housewarming, don't know what and what. Then in that meal also, there's so much of israf. And in there, he's taking everybody for a tour of his toilet. He's taking people to show his toilet and his bathroom, because half the money went away in the toilet and bathroom. The old people went outside. There was no problem. They too went toilet. Now the person is showing his wealth in his toilet and his bathroom. So when he's showing off this house, it is an israf. And Allah Ta'ala says that Allah doesn't love people who are wasteful. Right? Allah Ta'ala says the people who are wasteful, they are the brothers of shaitan. But everybody goes there and praises the person. So it is a guna that nobody even takes as a guna. If a person is committing zina, he hides and commits zina. If a person is involved in drugs, he hides and takes his drugs. He considers it a bad thing. He makes tawbah, he makes istighfar. But this israf is such a thing that we show it off. We make israf and we show it off. Now it is a guna that we are doing publicly, openly. And we don't regard it as a guna. And then it brings pride also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to us a hadith al-Qudsi. The hadith al-Qudsi is Allah Ta'ala's words. So in that hadith sharif, the mafhum of that hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that Allah Ta'ala says that when his servants, that is me and you, the servants of Allah Ta'ala, when we start disobeying Allah Ta'ala openly, that means we are having a disregard for Allah Ta'ala, because we are committing gunas openly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put such rulers over those people who won't have any mercy in their hearts. They won't care for their subjects. They will commit zulm and oppression. Now, today's time, we see the exact same thing happening. We see the same thing happening. But we will say this one is corrupt. That leader is corrupt. That politician is a chore. This one is like this. That one is like that. Government tenders is all corruption. All these things we'll talk. But we don't see where it stems from. What is the root? The root is me and you. When masiyat, guna, disobedience of Allah Ta'ala would be done openly, then Allah Ta'ala is going to bring such rulers on us. When there will be obedience, then Allah Ta'ala will bring rulers over us who will have concern for their subjects, who will be merciful towards their subjects, who will be caring towards their subjects. So it boils down to obedience and disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. Now just see, in this December month, generally business picks up. Business picks up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives barakat. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala must give barakat to all our Muslim businessmen, etc. So Allah gives barakat. So now how we show gratitude to Allah Ta'ala? So after that, busy time is over. Now I must go for a grand holiday. And the grand holiday must cost many grand. This going on holiday, I'm not saying you can't go on holiday. Before children used to go on holiday, they went to the nani's house. They went to the dadi's house. Cousins went to the khala's house. Today the teenagers, they're getting together on their own clique. No, we're driving down to them. The father and mother, they're flying overseas somewhere. Sometimes the grandfather, now he's loaded properly. He's taking the whole family and going. All grandchildren, everybody, they're going. How much is all that costing? For something that is no necessity at all. No necessity at all. And in that holiday, how much guna takes place? I mentioned to the students, I say, what I can't understand, Allah Ta'ala gives us wonderful homes, but a man will take his wife, his son, his daughter-in-law, his daughter, everything, drive all the way from Johannesburg to Durban to go eat on the pavement. Go and see the culture there, you'll see what happens if you go down to the coast. My advice is you stay at home. Well, yasa'aka baytuk. Let your house be enough for you. Is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's advice. Is stay at home. So we, one side we make so much israf in the house. Everything of the best in the house. But the house also is not giving us peace and contentment. To get peace, we need to go out for a holiday. And then in that holiday, so much of other israf takes place. Eating out, visiting, and then so much of guna takes place. So this cycle of masiyat, the cycle of masiyat, whether it is israf, whether it is other gunas, when we are going to commit these gunas openly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to bring favorable conditions upon us. If we want favorable conditions, we have to be in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And the wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given us, we must use it wisely. Do not squander. When the goings are good sometime, a person is not thinking, he is in a nasha. He's like in an intoxication. He thinks the good times are just going to roll. Then he's just throwing money. He's just spending one way, not being intelligent with it. And then sometime, in a short while, that entire empire is lost. Sometimes you see, until the old person is there, the young people get very upset. See, he's just holding the reins, not giving, no. Holding the reins. But till he's there, the family is strong. Everything is going well. There is some sort of simplicity. The old person passes away, and within a short while, the family is finished. Because now everybody is going to town. I'm not saying the old people must be kanjus now. Let's be generous also. If Allah has given, then we must give also. But this israf Today this is our big guna, whether it's in our masajid, whether it's in our madrasas, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our motor cars, wherever it is. Everything must be a showpiece. Everything must be a showpiece. My phone must be a showpiece. As I was mentioning last night, that one person came now, marital problem, he's complaining about how much he gave to his wife. He said, I bought her one shoe, was 15,000 rand. Mohan said, I couldn't believe it. The man buys a shoe for 15,000. Now, after spending so much and doing so much, he still lost the wife also. So this spending on our children and just giving them whatever they want. A lot of times we have this mentality that, no, when I was small, I couldn't have. Now Allah has given me, now my children, I must just give them. We are spoiling them. We are turning them into monsters. Tomorrow they won't be able to work also. They won't be able to be obedient also. And whatever wealth they got, they'll throw it away. And when the mu'min, when the believers won't have wealth, you won't have strength. So whatever wealth Allah Ta'ala is giving us, we must look after it. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala and use it in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Don't use it in disobedience. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they used money to go in jihad. They took all the money and went in jihad. They used money for charitable, you know, on the orphans, on the widows, charity on the poor. They used so much of money. But when one sahabi went to build one smart house, Nabi Sallam stopped making salam with him. He even eventually demolished the house. After he demolished the house, then Nabi Sallam made salam. But today we are taking pride in all these things. Pride is in our buildings. Pride is in our motor cars, in our phone, in our clothing. Our pride is in our deen. Not that we must be proud, but that is the thing that we are supposed to be putting our effort into. I mentioned, for the benefit of those who came late, and wallahi, I don't mean to insult anybody, but this is something for us to think. That let us take a stock of ourselves while we are here. How many of us were here for Jummah before Azan? Hardly a handful. You could count on the fingers of two hands how many people were here before Azan, or maybe one hand. Right? But that doesn't mean that there's no Muslims in the community. See how many of us are here now. What kept us away on a Jummah day? Such an important day for us. What kept us out of the masjid? And as I said in the beginning, it's not a putative problem, it's everywhere. Everywhere in the country we go, we'll see the same thing. What kept us away? Jummah day, we couldn't be in the masjid before Azan. So we need to take stock of ourselves. I must take stock of myself also. Each one of us, we must take stock of ourselves and see which direction is my life going. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.